You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I sang Dixie as she died. People just walked on by as I cried. The bottle had run out of tin for his rebel cry. I sang Dixie. Set way down yonder in the land of cotton, old times ain't near as rotten as they are on this damned old L.A. street. They drew a dying breath, laid his head against my chest, and Lord, take his soul back home, Dixie.
Right on time, Michael Musselman. What's going on, Matt? Where were you?
I was sitting right here.
I called three times. You forgot. You looked at your voice like, oh, shit.
No, I was right here. I didn't have my headset on, so I didn't see it. I didn't hear the...
Oh, I hate that number. So we listened to Dwight Yoakam singing I Sang Dixie.
Love that. Okay.
I had a question for you about Vietnam.
I wasn't there.
I know. It's a weapon question from Vietnam. Yeah, I know. Anyway, can't remember.
What was your question?
I wish I could remember. It was a weapons question relative to Vietnam, and had a guy who was a squad leader. I interviewed General Neil, a few months ago, and then one of the squad leaders that was part of that fight heard the interview and sent me an email and said, "Hey, I just want to congratulate you on the interview," and sent me some information about it. I said, "Why don't you come on?" And the perspective of squad leader is a little bit different. Is great interview. The interview is about 3 hours long, so I played the first hour today and second and third hours tomorrow. So
good.
Yeah. His name's he lives in Gadsden, Alabama. His name is Jack Riley, and the stories that he tells. We talk about
Jack Riley.
Jack Riley. No. He had a couple years of college and then got told he's probably going to be drafted, so he joined the Marine Corps. If he was going to go fight, he wanted to fight with the Marine Corps. And
Rock.
Exactly. And now he just tells this awesome story. He said, I grew up in Alabama in the late in the 50s and the 60s, and it was a segregated place. And my senior drill instructor was a black Marine by the name of Elliot. And he was a great man. And when I first met him, I thought, oh, this is not going to go well for me. And he said, he's a great man. We became great friends. We wrote and stayed in touch after I got out of boot camp. I was headed up to Contien to see him after I got to Vietnam. I got there in the second week of May, and he was killed on May 8th in Contien. And I was like, oh, no. He said, yep, Delta Company 1-4. And he said, he's just a great man. He was a chosen reservoir guy, and he knew what we were going to go into, and he loved us, and he said it's just taught me a lot. He said I'd never had a black man, do the things that he had done for me. I grew up in a segregated world, and he changed my life. It's just really cool interview.
Right.
So anyway. So but it was he was talking about converting from the M6. Oh, I know what the question is. So he talks about They still had M14s in 1966, 1967 when he got to Vietnam. They got the M16 towards the end of his year there. He said, you know, I read recently that the Marine Corps has gone to a weapon that, you know, everybody can have a full auto weapon. He said, I don't think that's a good thing. And so, talk to us about the rationale behind everybody having an automatic weapon.
I get what he's saying, but you got to look at it in a different perspective.
Okay, explain what he's saying, because
in Vietnam they had full auto weapons,
right? The M16.
And there was no discipline to them. And it was just like fire, bah, and then shoot. The idea that in people, here's my take on this, and it's not I'm not to bash anybody, but it's like I just when people say we shouldn't have full automatic weapons, you know, well, why in the world would you pigeonhole or limit the capabilities of a weapon system within the military? You know, I would like a weapon that would shoot single, burst, 5 rounds, 7 rounds, you know, and then full auto. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know what the capability, I know what the capability is when we lose it. Semi-automatic is okay. But, you know, when we're talking about fully auto, we're talking about IAR. IAR is a different platform. It's a different beast. It's a completely different gun than the M16 A1s that they used in Vietnam. Even though it fires the same bullet and it's a fully automatic gun, completely different gun. Meaning, when you fire that thing on full auto, it doesn't move. There's no such thing as a beaten zone anymore. It's a kill zone. You know, it's like we were talking about, laughing about when that gun was first introduced, and we were up at Triumph Palms, like, suppression is everybody's dead. And the coyotes we were dealing with, they were kind of confused because they like to see dirt being kicked up, and that's suppression, you know, and when it keeps the enemy's head down, it allows you to maneuver. Yeah, so does everybody's head got a bullet in it. That's a well-suppressed enemy as well.
You know what? That is, you're right about that. That is.
And it was really hard for the coyotes. It's really hard for the older Marines to get their heads wrapped around suppression. You know, and it's like our guns now with the buffering systems and the tripods and the optics, they're no longer area fire weapons. They're not. It's not like firing an M60 Delta. It's like, and the thing's all over the place. You fire, a 7-round burst, and all bullets hit the same hole. And that's hard for people to get their arms around. I mean, it's like, oh, we got to get suppression. They are suppressed, sir. What do you mean? They're all dead. We can just walk up now and just take the hill. Don't need to fight a way up. So when we limit capabilities, we limit what we're capable of doing, and I'm not a big fan of that. Like I said, I never saw a reason for burst. It's not like it made anything better. I don't think I ever fired my gun in burst other than just for fun. You know?
Explain burst.
It fires 3 rounds. It's basically a pivoting sear on the hammer that when it's a cam, so when the first round goes, it clicks, second round clicks, it's like a little gear, and then when the third round goes, there's a little stop that locks the sear in place. Pretty cool, ingenious design.
Yeah, no, it's designed to kind of be a midpoint, right, between full auto.
Right, and, we didn't want to lose all, you know, people shooting all those rounds, discipline and, you know, ammunition. So we put on a burst. Like, whatever, you know. Fully auto, you know, again, in the right hand, it's not a movie. It's not, the gun doesn't climb. I'm not writing my name on the wall because I can't control the thing. Not today's guns.
But that's, you know, a lot of people don't understand it. You know, you have,
until
you see what new weapons can do. It's hard.
They understand because of their own experience of what they use.
Right.
Like a full M14 on full auto, get out of here.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to shoot that. I mean, that thing's all over the place. But, you know, an HK-417 firing a 308 on full auto, sure.
You know, one of the things he says is that you know, he'd take out, you know, new joins to fan fire, and he'd take an M14 with the 20-round magazine, you know, put it in and say, put it on a... According to him, it had an auto switch. He said, I'm going to show you why we don't use full auto, okay? And so, you know, now pull this back, hold this thing in your shoulder, and keep it on that target. And he said, it's kind of interesting.
Well, again, it's the gun wasn't designed to shoot a full auto in the standing. It was designed, the M14 came with bipods.
Right.
So it had bipods. You put that thing down, and it was designed as an individual automatic rifle, like a BAR. So you fire it from the prone or from a supported position, and you can fire it in full auto. But you don't fire all 20 rounds, and that's the other thing. You watch these videos of YouTubers like, look at the kick on this. They fire 20 rounds. It goes up in the sky. You're not firing 20 rounds. It's a controlled burst. You know? You know, 3 to 5 rounds, depending on what you're capable of doing. But it really came down to it's understanding what the weapon can do, what it is, and then how it works. But the whole thing of firing full auto, it's like, I wouldn't want to fire full auto either.
We were not as, it's an interesting discussion. We were not as sophisticated in Vietnam as a military. I think the Marines were every bit as tough, if probably in ways much tougher than Marines today.
Right.
Because they came from a different culture. The Marine Corps was a tougher, rougher place. But, we're more professional now. We are a more professional force. Our military education is something that it never was. The sad part about this, the fight that Jack Riley is talking about, is that it should have never taken place. They're ordered to set in 3 platoon ambushes and don't dig in because we don't want them to hear you. This is their battalion op, so we don't want them to hear you digging in. Now, and they're up by the DMZ where they're fighting the NVA, and the NVA has been tracking them all day. And when mm-hmm. they see them split into 4 elements, they attempt to overrun the company CP, and a Medal of Honor, 4 Navy crosses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Silver Stars, and 3 Bronze Stars. Normally, you only get that when you're trying to avoid a disaster.
And hey, I'm sharing a picture with you. See it?
Here, hold on. But, I mean, now we have something called Commander's Intent, where if Mike's out there and I am the ops, and I say, hey, Mike, throw in 3 ambushes and don't dig in. He's like, yeah, got it. I'll be interdicting out here, right, out, click. And he does what he thinks is right. And he would have to come back and defend it. But it's a squared away looking fam fire going on.
Well, see, this is why when sailors tell me that they're qualified to shoot guns, this is their qualification.
What?
They shoot off the side of a ship and then they got to hit the ocean 19 out of 20 times. And they give them that 19 out of 20 times because someone's going to shoot the ship. So, but here's a picture. And, this used to be my argument. People used to say, I used to say it when in D.C. when I talked to these high-ranking officials and talked about why we need modular weapon systems because one size does not fit all. You know, like I said, if you go into cash sales, how many pairs of boots, different size boots will you run into? Dozens. How many different blouses? Dozens. trousers, dozens. Hell, we even have extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large T-shirts and socks and underwear. But yet, when it comes to guns, we only have one size. So here's an M14 in the hands of, she's probably about 5 foot, maybe, shooting up the fan. It looks like she's like almost like trying to hold a water hose, like she's a fireman. You know,
it's the same pose.
It's kicking her ass. Yeah, I mean, her muscles are straining under the weight of this M14, and she's firing this thing. And you can tell by the angle of the barrel, it looks like she's trying to shoot for the horizon.
When I saw it, it looked to me like she's just pulled the trigger and the recoil.
Well, no, there's no. If she was just fired, you would have seen
some kind of gas signature. In the M1, in the M14, there was no buffer assembly, so you were getting all of it into your shoulder. So you better be man enough or woman enough to.
There's a buffer assembly. It's an uprod system. It's a lower operational. It's a spring set underneath. It's a uprod. It's a gas uprod. Yeah. It's still absorbing some of the recoil.
Some of it, but not a buffer assembly as we would know it today.
Right, not like an M16. Right.
I mean, no. Let me tell you, I own an M1, right? And my son's got raised shooting it, and then I bought an M4, and the first time we took it out to shoot, we have the M1 out there and we're shooting, and I said, all right, let's shoot the M4. My kids laughed. There's no recoil. I said, I know, and like they're used to shotguns, right? Men's weapons, yeah. The M1. Right? The M4, right? And you barely rock. And they were laughing. They're like, oh my God. Yeah. You can stay on.
Here's my new favorite picture. Our protesting youth of today.
What are they protesting?
Their buttons say no Muslim ban, but they're out there for this whole. They're protesting. The apolitical judiciary is a dangerous myth.
Well, is Ruth Ginsburg apolitical?
Yes, but come on.
No, not going to.
She's on that side.
Not going to go there.
That's fine. All right. Okay. And checking. I don't think, just by the look at them, I don't think they're conservatives.
I would tell you that they're not. I would tell you.
Nice. If you're going to look serious. You know, you're going to do this, hit the heart-shaped glasses, and lose the Indian macrame earrings.
Come on, they're cool.
Yeah.
They're cool. They're out there getting a democracy on, man.
I like this going on right here. I'm not going to mention this, but you see that right there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a fan of that? A little stress on that button.
Yeah, on that top button there, lady.
Yeah, you're going to have a Subway commercial. Yeah. Going on, pew, somebody's going to get an eye put out. Somebody got to put an lost vision in an eye at the Ryder Cup. Got hit in the eye with a golf ball.
Oh, good time.
So, yeah. So.
Teachers, you sit so close to the. Yeah. That's funny. Important. So. Did you watch any more of this Ford incident thing going on?
Oh, the what? No. No, I don't. It bothers me. It's like, look, the FBI will find what they find, right? I don't think they'll find anything new. I don't think they'll substantiate anything other than the Senate investigators were able to substantiate. They're going to come and say, look, you know, she's a credible person. Her allegations are not, you know, you can't substantiate her allegations. You know, his life doesn't have any other history of this. So what do we say? We say that she makes an allegation, he denies it, and there's no further evidence. Okay. Will you eliminate him from serving on it? And then guys like Jeff Flake and, what is it, Lisa Murkowski, Nunchin in West Virginia, they'll have to decide whether it's up or down. And I think it will certainly cost some of them their seats in the Senate. You know, the guy in Montana, is going to vote against the nomination. Montanans aren't for that, you know. So he's
not for what?
Montanans are conservative by nature. Do you think they'll be okay with their senator voting no on this? I don't. So it's going to cost some of them, I think, their seats in the Senate. And so,
well, then that means they're going to do it.
You don't think they'll do it?
No, man. These guys, no. They won't do it. These guys are all about existence.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting that you don't think they'll do it.
No, they're trying to find a way out.
They're trying to find.
They're trying to weasel out. Politicians are they're survivors.
Yeah, you know, you can't perpetuate the franchise when you don't get reelected.
Right. So you gotta
get reelected.
Gotta go back and forth, man. You gotta play the game.
You gotta get reelected. That's the mission, okay?
That's the mission.
And so you got people in, for instance, Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, and she goes through this on conservative issues. You have, you know, Joe Nunchin in West Virginia. He's a Democrat. I mean, they used to be called, Blue Dog Democrats or something like that. Conservative Democrats.
Wasn't
a whole lot different than your basic moderate Republican. In fact, they were the majority of people that sat in both houses. And they tended to used to be able to run the show before compromise was eliminated. So they're a dying breed because you can't live there anymore.
What's his name? Jeff Flake and Coons, when they were on the interview, they were talking.
How do you watch that and not have your head explode? Teach me, because I can't. What's the secret?
Because I just wanted to hear, like, what was the narrative? What were we trying to say here? So when they were talking about it, though, what they were talking about was how it struck. The one thing that struck me kind of funny was when Coon said, I just couldn't believe how destructive our politics have become. Yeah. Like, where the fuck have you been? What do you mean? That was the pivotal moment that day? Not the last 6 years?
Yeah.
10 years?
Have you not been paying attention?
What have you been doing in office? Have you been going to work? I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't believe what it has become. It's been a mockery and a joke since you've been there. I mean, God. That's the thing that I love hearing that, because it's like it makes me feel good that, yes, I'm right when I say that they're not connected.
Oh, you mean they're disconnected from the way the nation perceives
them? Oh, yeah. They're not plugged in, man. They just don't understand what's going on.
I can't even watch it. It makes me angry.
See, I can only watch it in small doses. And then I like to watch, when I get riled up, I like to watch, Kamala Harris.
I like
to do that. No, that's like a comedy show to me.
Yeah, it's not to me.
She's always like, can you promise me that you won't kick out illegal aliens? No. Can you promise me that, you know, that you'll eat oatmeal and bran fiber for the rest of your time while you're serving as the CIA director? Like, some of the questions she asked, like, so stupid. Like, go home. I got it. You got in there. I don't know how you got in there, but.
And she's running for president, as is Cory Booker. So I can't.
What, the book club?
No, President of the United States, man.
Oh, come on.
Hey, trust me. Coming to a theater near you, bro. Both of them as candidates for the highest office in the land.
And like I said, I there's a part of me that wishes, like, I wish that she did run and that she did win.
What?
I really do. You know why?
Why?
Because it just brings the pitchforks and torches of day-to-day
that much closer.
Just to fruition, yeah. It's like, You know, the two things that I wait for, the day when all the pitchforks and torches join in and have the sit down, or, like I said, the mass extinction. And I kind of leaning towards the mass extinction more. And the only reason is, again, it's a final solution to a bullshit problem.
I can't watch it. I'm very selective. I've tried to follow my own advice, actually, and the things that people have sent in about, I can't watch it. If I watch the news, I'll watch Brett Baer with the news. But
sometimes he gets a little crazy.
Among news people, I think he's the most professional. He's the least toxic of that group. So,
yeah.
I'm other than that, I read selectively, and I have it on virtually all day,
You're like a COC? You got it sitting on a TV?
Well, I'm sitting here either writing or interviewing or composing something, and so I'll have it on in case something. I learned on September 11th. That you should have a monitor in your studio. I did not. So I'm doing radio and don't know what's going on. So
that's a good thing. Let's make up our own world.
let's construct the island.
Let's do a War of the Worlds one day. We break this interview to bring you a firsthand account of what's going on. We have alien ships that have landed at the mall. No, that's been done.
Yeah, that one's been done. It would have to be zombies.
No, no one would believe that.
I don't know.
You gotta come up with something kind of crazy. I mean, like crazy. I'll think of something.
All right, that's your turn.
So, hey, how did the interview go? Are you done interviewing?
Who? Him?
Her?
Who's her? No, we haven't done the interview.
Her. Here.
Yeah, no. We talked. And
she understands?
Yep, she understands. And she said thank you for thinking of that. And I said, look, when a decision gets made, either to prosecute or not, all you got to do is shoot me a text and we'll do it. And I just want to commend you for wanting to do it. And she said, well, you know, that interview and, hearing Mike's side of the conversation made me want to talk to him. And very cool. So, very cool.
Yeah. I wish her the best. I mean, I'll call her this week.
Yeah. You know what? You struggle, and if you're lucky, you cross paths with smart people that help you.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, no, you're a part of it. Your life is there's a lot of it, though, with, whether we talk about Mike Wishnia or Jeremiah Workman, there's a reason that people sent those people in your direction, because they knew you had a brain, and they knew you were not afraid, to tell the appropriate people to fuck off and that you weren't doing something. And so that's why people entrusted people to you, and you couldn't stop doing that if you somebody puts a gun to your head and says, you can't do this. You'd say, pull the trigger, bro, because I can't live like that. So yeah.
I stayed indoors yesterday because I didn't want to, do that again.
You didn't want to do it? I don't know. It is sometimes, though, you're like, oh, no, not again. But anyhow, here's an email. Destructive Politics. Coons is one of the producers of the destruction. Since he doesn't look like an alien and is pretty articulate, he gets invited to the Sunday talk shows. I don't know too much about him. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What is his...
He portrays the good guy.
But he's a bad guy.
Really, really well.
But,
I mean, very well. But he's a politician to begin with. But I just don't. I don't get it. I'm not there yet with him.
What about Flake? Is Flake lamenting?
Flake seemed like a good guy, but I think he looks for this opportunity to get play out. A woman, the whole elevator incident.
I was just gonna go there.
Hailed as a hero. You know, it's like
you're sentencing me to death.
What? You know, like you're sentencing. You know, hey, where's your green card? Oh, I can't ask for that. Get out of here.
No, you know what bothers me is that he just stands there with this look on his face like he's a victim. What he should say is, hey, look, what's your name? Tell me your name. Hop in the elevator, right? And let's go to my office and let's sit down and talk.
Get out of the cameras.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if the only reason you're doing this is so that he can record it, all right, you've had your say. Thank you very much. But he stands there like, I'm like.
He stands there and takes it. Oh, because they had their hand on the door, so it wouldn't shut. Oh, come on.
Then walk out of the elevator and use the stairs.
Yeah. I mean,
but don't, the whole either thing, one of two things.
It's a media circus, man.
Yeah, one of two things. Either take her to your office and listen to her, right, and sit down and talk to her, or be on your way. Don't stand there and be used for their bullshit.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened. But it's just the look on his face, like, oh, my God, dude. Get the victim card out of your hand. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for being alive. I'm sorry for being weak, and I just don't know what to do. You know? And look, and this is Flake's deal. Hey, a week to look at this issue, right? Not to look at everything in his life again. A week to look at this issue, come back and vote.
Right.
Right? FBI, tell us what you think. I got this really cool picture of Jack Riley. A 122-millimeter rocket impacted by their patrol and broke his glasses. And he was a dud.
Yeah, 122 rocket.
It was a dud. But, like, the debris and stuff that flew, like, broke his glasses. So he's standing there holding the rocket in Vietnam. Pretty spot in Vietnam. Hills, really green. Mike, have you ever been in elephant grass?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Razors. It's like walking through nature's razors.
Where were you in?
We were in Thailand, I think it was. Yeah. And holy smokes, man. I mean, I didn't feel like cutting my camis because we had our sleeves down.
Right.
But when I got out, I mean, I had like little slice marks everywhere. I was like, what the hell just happened? I mean, if that stuff hits your hands, it hurts. I mean, it's like a paper cut, man. You don't even feel it some of the times. It's already too late when you're feeling it. It's like it already happened.
How about visibility?
What do you mean? You can't see anything. Elephant grass is like over your head.
So are the stalks?
That's why they call it. The nickname is elephant grass because when an elephant walks around, he's the only one that can see through it. It's like grass to him, like our grass. So it's huge. You can't see over it. The other stuff I was in anyway. I mean, you're using a machete to cut through it.
He says. They had their backs to a hill, the company CP's on the other side, and he talks about, you know, he said from on the map it looks green, there's some rubber trees, but the rest is elephant grass, and that's how they got close to us. So, and then boom, mortars, machine guns, and here they came.
Yeah, elephant grass, man. I think if you run through elephant grass, you have a chance of dying.
Bleed to death by the time you get through.
that's the 1,000 cuts, dying of 1,000 cuts.
Dying of 1,000 cuts. I've never been in elephant grass, so.
Oh, you're lucky.
Interesting. Interesting. Here's another email. I think the discussion you guys have had about, is this the way it's always been, or is something new going on here is interesting. I read something this morning. I wish I could remember the full text of it, but it was written in about the year 1995, and it talked about the unleashing of significant forces in our world. It started analyzing the role of newspapers when the democracy began. People had to read. About 100 years or so later, pictures get introduced, and pictures became the compelling thing relative to newspapers. Then television shows up. Now we don't even have to read anymore. We just listen. Question is, how long did we listen for? Well, you normally listen for the whole story.
Right.
The internet shows up, and then social media. I'll fast forward to social media. Now you get your information in 15 to 20 seconds. That is straight up scary. Combined it with competition of the news organizations for your click, and you can see what has happened to the media. Something that we used to read, now we glance at. Something that used to be of substance, now it's inflammatory. Ever wonder why our country is getting stupider and stupider by the day? Send me the link to that. I would like to read that.
Who sent that to you?
A guy named John.
Oh, cool. What are you saying?
Somebody doesn't want us to talk about that anymore. Enough already in all caps, Mike.
Okay. Sorry.
All caps.
Here, well, you know what we'll do today?
We have to do gun talk again soon.
Yeah, not today. I'm not a gun.
Not today.
Actually, I'm building a gun right now.
So. What gun are you building?
I'm building a 224 Valkyrie.
224 what?
Valkyrie. 224 Valkyrie.
And describe the Valkyrie for me. What is it?
It's just a cartridge. It's just a different cartridge. It's a little bit bigger than a 5.56. You know, 223, 224. It's a 90 grain bullet. The thing about it that I like the most is the fact that at 1,000 yards, a 70 grain or a 77 grain bullet, 223, is going about 900 feet per second. A Valkyrie, a 224 Valkyrie, is going 1,400 feet per second. So it's a pretty good long range shooter. It's a 90 grain bullet. It's still a varmint gun. I mean, you probably put a deer down with it, but it's just more of a target gun. It's a long range target gun. Pretty neat stuff. So,
what are you going to use it for?
Target shooting.
Because I know, well, you have farmer friends. And if you have farmer friends, a lot of people wind up doing a little, they help harvest. Is that the right word? They help eliminate varmint from people that have farms. Varmints are a problem.
Yeah. Well, this one is because the bullet travels so fast at such a longer range. You know, so when you shift from supersonic to subsonic, that's when the bullet starts to behave, and you can't predict that. But the longer you can prolong that, so the longer ranges make it where that dramatically affects the accuracy of your gun because you're not crossing that threshold like earlier when a smaller caliber round. So, and it deals a lot more with crosswinds and winds. It's going to hold up a lot better. I mean, probably a third drift in at range.
Okay, so, let me ask you this. What's a better way to deal with crosswinds? Heavier bullet or
heavier bullet fires faster.
Or faster.
And
bullet.
Fast. And fast. You want to keep that round supersonic. The longer you keep that round supersonic, crosswinds, it doesn't play that much. I mean, you're still going to be some, but it's not great.
Okay. So
the bullet's subsonic, it's going to blow that bullet everywhere.
So my first recourse in if I'm going to go someplace where it's windy is higher velocity bullet. Second,
higher velocity heavy bullet.
Okay. All right.
Because again, you want to prolong, push out the transformation from supersonic to subsonic as far out as possible.
All right. Let me ask you a stupid ammunition question. Okay. So same grains, heavier bullet, not going as fast. Yes.
What?
Same number of grains in terms of gunpowder, heavier bullet, my round's got to slow.
No, no, we're talking about grains and bullet, not gunpowder. So the projectile weight.
Okay.
Projectile weights are measured in grain.
Okay, so let's talk about both. When I combine the same amount of gunpowder with the heavier round, the round's going to slow down, right?
You're missing. Okay, so don't think of it as I can add more gunpowder to a bullet and make it go faster. You know, that's all calculated. There's a science to that. It's not just poured in there until the bullet goes bam really hard. Don't mess with that. There's formulas for that. So it's the optimal trying to find the weight of the bullet. So, and the twist rate of the barrel, because the twist rate, you know, is optimal for different grains.
Right.
And it's just really a matter of
we have to do barrel. We have to do the class then. We have to do the class.
Yeah, I know. We don't have time to do the class.
I know.
We can do this. But see, again, we're talking about the difference between a 223 Bremington or a 223 and a Valkyrie. We're also talking about because of the weight. And we're only talking about, 13 grains, right? 77-grain match king, Sierra match king, a smoke, we call them, SMK, Sierra match king, and a 90-grain match king, 13 grains difference to show you that's nothing. However, at 1,000 yards, the foot-pounds of energy being released when it strikes the target, you're talking about 223 is about 158, 160 foot-pounds of energy. 224 Valkyrie is 400. Like, whoa. What?
400? Whoa.
Yeah. So, again, to put you in that category is now a 224 Valkyrie, it'll drop a white-tailed deer at 1,000 yards. A 224, 90-grain bullet.
Okay, so if I'm let's take a heavier weapon though, okay.
Let's take a 6.5 Creedmoor then.
Okay.
That's a big gun.
All right, and let's say I'm going to use it to go deer hunting.
And white tailed deer? Yeah.
And I'm looking at the weather, and
right.
The weather's telling me that it's going to be windy.
Okay.
All right. What do I do for my ammunition? In my 6.5.
Don't change a thing.
Nothing.
Nothing.
But it's going to be windy.
It doesn't matter. What we're going to do is we're going to change the way we stalk the animal, and we're going to come upwind. So he's got the wind to his back, and I'm coming up to him, so okay. He doesn't see me.
Let me tell you,
I got no value.
Let me tell you, first of all, stalking, I'm in a stand, Mike.
We're not talking.
With my cooler and my coffee.
Mm-mm.
I haven't put the salt licks out yet because I know I'm not supposed to do that. But I do have a tag, and I'm not going home empty-handed.
And if you're shooting from a stand, take anything you want, dude.
Oh no!
I don't care if you eat or not.
Anti-standite?
Yeah, I hate that. That bugs me.
That's a lot of...
You're not a hunter.
That's a lot of hunters right there.
You're not a hunter if you shoot from a stand.
What are you? You're a bowler?
No, you're just a shooter that can't shoot very well, so you need to sucker them in.
Hmm.
It's like saying that you're a great batter and all you've done is bat against in a batting cage. I'm great. I have a .4. You know, I'm at a 400 when I hit. Well, have you ever hit against a real person? No, just a machine. Come on.
So that's a human interaction.
There's going to really.
I know a lot of guys, both from North Dakota and Minnesota, that are deer stand hunters.
I know. But you're not a real.
It doesn't look fun to me. Like I'm going to go freeze my ass off and hope a deer walks there. I'm not doing that. The other thing is that's why I don't like fishing. I'm going to sit in this boat. And I'm going to drop this line, and I'm going to sit here and wait? Come on,
well,
man.
Well, see, I like fishing, but I don't like doing that. I like casting. I like throwing it out there, reeling it in, so I like trying different areas.
Fly fishing.
Yeah, I love that.
Stand in the stream. Yeah.
That's fishing, man. That's real fishing.
Go in the Red River of the North, right, with 10 tons of mosquito repellent on you, drop a line, and hopefully wait for a catfish to hop on top of it. Come on.
But yeah, that's like going to a fish hatchery with a bunch of worms in a hole and coming out with your limit and talking about how great of a fisherman you are. We're going fishing at a stock trout farm. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I should do this. I used to do this up in North Dakota, Minnesota, but I would have the game wardens come on. Mm-hmm. You should hear the stories those guys tell.
Oh yeah. Oh my god,
the stupid shit that the stories they tell you. It's like sun limit is like, I don't know, let's just say a dozen in Minnesota. You know, well, I saw this guy, he had a big basket, and so just wandered over, said, hey, you know, your basic game warden, right, in his green uniform with his pistol on, and hey, what's up, friend? Nothing. Nothing. 430 sunfish they'd caught. Like, what are you doing? And they went to jail. But then the drug use in the ice fishing houses. The ice fishing houses are, I mean, now they're like, you should see the stuff people build and drag onto a lake for the winter. And then they go up there and they get drunk all weekend. It's crazy. That's not like an activity. Like, sitting around doing that never really appealed to me, which is why I ridicule fishing.
Well, that's why I ridicule stand hunting, too.
Right. No, it's not the same.
It's just shooting animals from, yeah.
Okay,
and
so
shit.
We're...
It's like
we're,
shooting animals from your porch.
Worse than that. No, you know, it is exactly that. Sitting on your porch and grabbing your rifle or shotgun. Bessie, give me the Winchester.
So there's my answer. My answer is don't change anything with your ammunition. Change the way you stalk the animal.
And if you need more than that, don't speak to me.
Well, what if I can't get a shot like that? Well, then don't take it.
What?
Yeah.
Look, I plan my vacation around this. Okay, then what you need to do is go into one of those fenced-in places and ambush animals.
Yeah, have them drive up with a golf cart, have them put your stakes out. The animal's still on the leash, eating grain under the tree.
Send the guy downrange, unhook him from the leash.
And then have him take the leash off, and then do your pose. Yep. The big killer of animals. Yep. And make sure when you pose way in the back to make the animal look even twice as big as he really is. I did a joke one time where I did a photograph. I'm like, hey, take a photograph of me. And it was an elk, and I'm like way back there. And the antler is like the left antler is taller than me. And so I'm like, dude, and I show people like, dude, you ever seen an elk this big? And people first look at it like, whoa. And I said, yeah. I could climb his antlers, and it would take, you know, I couldn't, even jumping, I couldn't touch the top antler. And the pictures, and then some people that know hunting right away, they're like, oh, you jackass. know, but other people that don't know hunting, they're whoa. Like, oh my God.
That's awesome. Whoa.
Are you in the record books? Yeah. I'm in the record books, all right.
I'll tell you what, though. That's serious stuff, man. When you go to in hunting country, I mean, mm-hmm. those records are pretty serious. And I remember a guy who shot the largest deer in Minnesota history. And he did it illegally. And because hunters will peel it back on you, okay? Just in case you don't know. They, you better not be messing around because they will look your shit up. They will, they'll go out and look at different things to see if you were following the rules, and if you weren't, they will air your shit out. And I want to say, this guy had to, you know, it was, I should look up the story. No, the game warden radio was awesome. They would, you know, first of all, they're fun guys, and they're always outdoors, and, you know, they have pretty interesting stories, and they do it, you know, winter and summer. So they have good gear stories too, because they got to stay warm in the winter and cold in the summer. And pretty interesting. And Minnesota's pretty crazy about it because, you know, in the land of 10,000 lakes, your natural resources are a big part of tourism in the state. It's no small amount of money. And so it's serious shit. Serious shit, man. So they were fun. They were fun guys. But they would tell you crazy stories. And it would all stop with just walking up. Hey, friend, how you doing? How's it fishing? And all of a sudden they start looking around and like, burr, burr. Guys are grabbing stuff real quick and hiding it. Like, what's going on, boys? You know? And now the badge comes out. You know who I am, right?
Can't tell by the uniform?
Got to ID yourself, though. Got to show the badge. So just so there's no confusion when it all goes to court. Here's another email. I was liking Supreme Court discussions. Some of us just aren't tough enough anymore. There's always other listening options. I know you don't want me to say that, Mac. No, we don't. We're like, we don't want anybody to change the channel. Right? And again, it's, I don't know that we can talk about it that much without driving ourselves crazy either. Here's another email. When will the next part of your battle study air? Tomorrow. Yeah, it's about 2 hours long, too. About 2 hours long. The, don't miss it. He's a, if you can imagine, he's a good guy. And he joined the Marine Corps. He had 2 years of college. Jack Riley did. And so he enlisted in the Marine Corps because he wanted to be a Marine if he was going to have to go to Vietnam. And the story of that is a crazy story. And somebody said earlier today, how many guys have been killed because of stupid orders that loyal subordinates followed? And the answer to that question is too many. And now we don't do that. We have commander's intent now. And if you're a leader, you're supposed to reconcile what your commander wants with the situation on the ground. You're not supposed to. And if a guy tells you something to do it, don't do it. You know, if they don't get what's going on, if they want to do, because these stories are terrible to read. And you know, you have these Marines that are fighting.
It's a different Marine Corps, though, Mac.
Right, I agree.
I mean, shit, it was a different Marine Corps when I first joined to what it is now.
Right. To me, one of the biggest difference from when I joined to today is the requirement for officers to think. When I was a lieutenant, you want to get promoted? You want to do well in the Marine Corps? Yes. Find out what your CO wants and give it to him. That's it. That's how you get promoted. Find out what your CO wants.
Well, don't break the law.
And give it to him. Well, no. Did we have regard for the law then?
I did. I always did.
There you go. How do you know he's lying? Yeah. No, if you have to break the law, you don't break it. Who breaks it? Your staff sergeant, your gunny. That's what they're there for. But that's what they used to be there for. Sir, just don't ask me about it. All right. Well done, staff sergeant. And that's the way the Marine Corps worked. And, I mean, here's the other thing. Hey, Lieutenant, when I want you to think, I'll unzip my pants. That's how you'll know. Until then, do what the fuck I tell you to do. Yes, sir. That's the Marine Corps that I grew up in.
Jeez, Mac.
I didn't make that up.
Gosh.
Mike's a boot. He didn't join the Marine Corps until a year after I did, so he doesn't know the old. He doesn't know the old Marine Corps.
That's right. I'm a boot.
Come on. Drinking and fighting. I've talked about when the Marine Corps started pulling people out of cars when they came through the front gate. People could not believe that shit. What the fuck is the Marine Corps coming to?
No, you're right. It's
How about a ride home? How about calling my wife to come get me? What kind of bullshit chicken shit is this? Yeah, that was the institutional response. So anyway, all right, what else got going on today? Anyway, very nice temperatures in all over every place all over. Yeah, fall is breaking out.
They've had, but it's been around a while now, but they've had all the Thanksgiving or the Halloween shits in stores, and then. Now the Thanksgiving stuff's coming out. God, dang. And, you know, next week's Christmas is good stuff's going to
come out. Come on.
Watch. Christmas.
Halloween at the end of the month.
Yep.
Isn't that
crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems like summer ended and now.
Well, I thought time was supposed to start slowing down, but nope. You know, it's like this thing is just, it's out of control. It's spinning out of control. It needs to slow down.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Do you have any technique for slowing it down? Or are you just lamenting the fact that it's not?
No, I'm, if someone else needs, or someone else knows how to slow this down, then call me.
Give your cell number up.
Yeah, let me know.
You can contact him via the program. All right. That'll do it for today. Anything else?
All right, man.
Anything else you want to say before we say goodbye?
No. But like I say, pray for the end of the world.
It's near.
Hopefully it comes soon.
It's near, I think.
It's near. And then
everybody will be happy.
Yeah.
Sad.
I just can't think of it. But anyway, yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Okay. I need your advice about something. Anyway.
Oh, no.
No, I know. No,
it's pick the Red Sox. That's
my advice. There you go. All right. The Gunner right here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. This is dedicated to this email. Do not use Go Cubs Go as your outro, Mac. I'm a Cardinal fan. I hate the Cubs. Your outro is fine. Just the way it is. Do not mess with it. All right. Let me tell you what you'll hear. You'll hear a little bit of an introduction and some news. There's a lot of Marine news. Interesting news going on. Pilot of the F-35 released. Pilot in a training squadron. I do a little bit of an introduction in the first hour of the battlefield study that starts today and continues tomorrow. And that is the battle at Gatlin's Corner, Volume 2. Volume 1 was Butch Neal. And Volume 2 is, got out as a sergeant, but he was a corporal at the time, Jack Riley. So you'll hear him. And if you miss me saying that, in one fight that lasted approximately 6 hours, a Medal of Honor, 4 Navy Crosses, 6 Silver Stars, and 3 bronze stars. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen anything. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And I'm almost 100% sure out of one fight in Marine Corps history. So, but you'll hear his story of that day. So, don't touch that dial. And that's what we'll do tomorrow. We'll also, General Livingston passed away, I believe, last Friday. So you'll hear shows about him. Another legend of the Marine Corps, Medal of Honor recipient. So, yeah, we'll do some stuff about him. We'll finish up Colonel Ripley as well. General Livingston was in the vicinity of Colonel Ripley. They were the two principals in the vicinity of Dong Hall. So, advisors, as they were. So, thoughts and prayers with the Livingston family, and he lived a great life. Warriors. So, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, over and out. I'm supposed to say out the way I used to. Out.